You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. We got word from the federal government this week. Premiums for popular health plans sold on healthcare.gov are going up across the country an average of 25%. And depending upon where you live, you may have fewer choices when you shop on the exchange. What will we see in Michigan, and what does this all say about the health of the Affordable Care Act? Marianne Udall-Phillips is director of the Center for Healthcare Research and Transformation at the University of Michigan Health System. Marianne, you and I have had a lot of conversations on Stateside about the ACA through these years. You've been a pretty big proponent of the ACA. How concerned are you about these rising costs and shrinking options?
I am a supporter of the ACA because I think it's better than what we had before. And I think it's really important for us to understand that for people who buy their coverage as individuals, the market was broken before the Affordable Care Act was in effect. The market is actually better now, even with these rate increases for people who buy the coverage themselves. It's not perfect. It does need to be fixed. There are problems with it, but it's a place to start from. And that's always been my feeling about the Affordable Care Act. It is by far not a perfect law, but it's a foundation we can work from.
So hearing this, you know, the news that, you know, rates going up, we've got some insurers dropping out. Why is that? Were customers older and sicker than everybody thought they might be at the beginning?
Right. To some degree, health plans enrolled people that were sicker than they expected, and their rates, they set their rates lower than they should have for that population. Mm-hmm. To some degree, some of the health plans thought they were going to get some more what's called risk stabilization support from the federal government, and some of those funds did not fully materialize the way health plans expected that they would. And there were some changes in the way the federal government tried to encourage people to enroll. So federal government had a very generous policy for allowing people to enroll in what's called special enrollment periods.
Come into the tent.
Right. Yeah. They really wanted to get a lot of people covered. And so they made it easy for people to enroll even after those special enrollment, after the formal enrollment periods were over. And many health plans feel that people who enrolled in those periods were sicker, they dropped coverage shortly after they got a particular problem addressed, and that made their whole risk pool sicker than they expected.
So what does this mean going forward? Do you think this is more of a market correction, or is there a sign that there is deep trouble?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. Mm. The federal government has already, to some degree, improved some of those policies that it had, at least from the health plan's perspective. They tightened up the special enrollment periods, not to the point the insurers would like to see it yet, so there's still dialogue going on about that. To some degree, these rate changes are reflecting more about who's in the pool, but there's still a lot of concern that if healthy people do not sign up, then those risk pools get worse, rates go up higher, and fewer people sign up, and more people are willing to pay the penalty. And so it's something that I really do think Congress will need to look at. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that will happen after this election, that people will actually sit down and figure out how can we improve this design because there are problems with it.
And when we say the healthier people, does that harken back to conversations you and I have had about getting younger people?
That's right. The young people need to come in, mm-hmm. and people who are relatively healthy need to come in. And for some of them, they've been willing to pay the penalties. Those penalties are going up. And so
more of them, no insurance.
That's
just
right.
Going there. Yeah.
That's right. And so more of them may start to come in just because of those penalties over time. But the insurers never thought those penalties were high enough. They always wanted them to be higher. So there's really a dialogue that needs to go on at the policy level to see how can we fix these problems. This is a market-based system. It's a complicated system, and it's much harder to make a market-based system work everywhere across the country than it is to make a single-payer system work like they have in most of European countries.
I know it was earlier this month we learned Michigan consumers are going to pay nearly 17% more for individual insurance plans and small group plans, about 2.5%. Does that fit with what?
So it's complicated, right?
Yes.
So the average rate filing went up about 16.2% in the individual market, but that doesn't actually mean that's what people will pay, and
right.
That's really important to understand.
And the same for this 25% increase that we're hearing about nationally.
That's absolutely right.
And we're hearing officials in Washington are saying, you know, well, as premiums go up, more Americans will be eligible for the tax credits.
That's right.
In fact, I see more than 8 in 10 consumers will be qualifying for ACA subsidies.
That's right. In Michigan, 87% of those who enrolled last year got a tax credit. And for those people, what happens is the tax credit goes up as the cost goes up.
So, but doesn't that mean the ACA is being propped up by we, the taxpaying public?
Well, it always has been. So the tax credits were designed to help people who are at relatively low income make health care more affordable. That is part of the design. This is partially a tax-funded system of health insurance, same as Medicaid. It's a tax-funded system. People also pay. That is how, you know, premium. So that's it's a combination of things. And in fact, even with these rate increases and the higher subsidies the federal government will pay this year, costs are still lower than what the Congressional Budget Office and most people predicted healthcare spending would be at this time. And so net, the federal government over the past 3 years in total will be paying out less in subsidies than they actually had expected because the first 2 years were very, very low in terms of healthcare cost increases.
Now, let's ask a question on behalf of the consumers who don't qualify for tax subsidies.
Yes.
Tough darts?
Well, they should shop around.
Okay.
So, in fact, the average premium goes up 16.2% of all the health plans, but for the second lowest cost silver plan, the average premium goes up 7%. And so people really need to look at the choices in their area, and particularly if they live in urban areas, they're going to have choices. It may mean they have to change health plans, but they probably won't have to pay an increase, even if you're not getting a subsidy. They may not have to pay an increase of 16%.
There are two things there. If you're not in an urban area, I know, for example, you and I have talked about in the Upper Peninsula, Schoolcraft County, there's only one choice.
That's right.
There's
That's
not much
right.
shopping around you can do.
That's right.
A lot of counties only have two.
That's right.
So what about the people where there really isn't much of a choice?
That's right. So Mackinac County is the county in Michigan that had the biggest drop in the number of plans that are offered from 2016. 2016 in Mackinac County, they had 26 different plans from one carrier, from Blue Cross and Blue Shield, but 26 plans to choose from. In 2017, they only have 14 plans, but that's still 14 choices. Mm-hmm. So they may not, even though they only have one carrier, they may not actually have to pay a 16% rate increase if they choose a plan that has a more limited network of doctors and hospitals.
That's the other question. What happens if I do shop around and I get a plan that is lower? What am I losing out?
That's right. You could be, you may have to change doctors or hospitals, because the way that these health plans are keeping their costs lower is by having what's called narrower networks of doctors and hospitals. And that is a challenge. And that is a challenge for many consumers, especially consumers who have medical needs, a lot of medical needs. That's hard for them to make those kinds of changes.
As you know very well, all through this campaign, we've heard people on both sides of the aisle criticizing the ACA. We even got a blast across the bow from Bill Clinton.
We did.
We've had others say they want to kill it. Do you think this latest news really feeds those anti-ACA flames?
Well, certainly it increases the headlines around this issue and does feed those who have wanted to repeal it. And again, what I would say is repealing doesn't fix this problem, because the problem predates the Affordable Care Act. What the Affordable Care Act gives us is a platform to work from. In this structure, there are still many people who are getting health insurance coverage who could not afford it before, and they can afford it now, especially if you're getting a tax credit. You know, 73% of people in Michigan will have to pay less than $100 a month for health insurance in 2017, because so many people get tax credits. And so it is still more affordable for many people, not for everyone. And we need to figure out that other piece, because that is very important.
And what do you think, let's say, you know, we're now, let's look past November 8th. We're going to have a new president. What kind of adjustments and fixes do you think need to be looked at by our next president?
Well, there have been a lot of proposals that are on the table, and we'll have to see what the politics look like. But certainly some of the discussions that need to happen, some of them are regulatory, like these issues around the special enrollment period. Can those things be tightened up? There have been proposals about expanding the tax credits to give people more financial support, more people more financial support. There have been proposals. President Obama just recently proposed that in communities where there aren't many choices or no choices, that we allow a public option, which means people would be allowed to buy Medicare coverage, for example. And that was an issue that was debated when the Affordable Care Act was first passed and wasn't included at that time. But I think that's going to be back on the table for discussion. So there's going to be more discussion about how do you make the market more competitive? How do you get more people in? I think there could be discussion about the penalties and whether or not they are high enough to really get people to enroll. So I think there are going to be a lot of things that are put on the table. And
is the political will there to tackle those?
That's the question.
Things.
Hopefully it'll be beyond the let's just repeal it, because that it's probably not going to be repealed almost no matter what happens. It's unlikely to be totally repealed. It would really be so much more beneficial for everyone in the country if we could figure out how to improve it. And there are many ideas out there about how to improve it.
Marianne Udall-Phillips is director of the Center for Healthcare Research and Transformation at the University of Michigan Health System. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's delightful to be here, Cindy, as always.